Our first scripture today is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God."
The second scripture today comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always preserve in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak the word of God for the people of God."
Thanks be to God. We live in sandcastles. Do you remember sandcastles? You go to the beach, and if you have children, you will work together to build some kind of a castle or some kind of a building, and you work on it for a while, and you know that the tide is going to be coming in soon, and it comes in soon enough, and the sandcastle is gone. Sometimes my kids would get irritated if we worked a long time on a sandcastle and the tide came in too quick and it was gone, because they wanted it to be permanent. But you learn pretty quick that sandcastles are meant to be temporary. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. We live in sandcastles, you and I. Paul liked to call them earthly tents. Everything that we have, especially that is material in this world, is a sandcastle. It is here today and it is gone tomorrow. It is true of the first building that we have, our body. This body, whether it is young or old or big or little or tall or short, is here today and gone tomorrow. It serves a good purpose. It houses our soul. It is a place where the Spirit of God resides. And for a while, God uses it very well to do many of the things that God wants to do in this world, both inside us to share His love, and He uses this earthly tent, this sandcastle of ours, for a while to share that love in this world. But it's a sandcastle. It's an earthly tent. The things in our lives, our houses, our homes, we call them homes, they are sandcastles too. Everything that's in them, everything really that we own, are sandcastles. They are here today and gone tomorrow. And When we think about our homes, whether they are mansions, whether they cost a great deal, or for some of you who didn't put very much in your home, maybe just renting it from month to month, you can know that it belongs to God. Every home belongs to God, just like everything belongs to God. It is not ours. And sometimes, if we think we own it, then we really miss the whole perspective that God has given us when He reminds us that all of our life is a gift and that we are stewards. We are here to use what has been given to us for a while, and then it goes back to God. And we go on to God at that point ourselves, that which is permanent, not the sandcastle part of us. You know, even this church is a sandcastle. If you are a part of the trustees, you certainly know just how temporary everything that is a part of this building is. You know, you experienced it at one time when you heard the church is burned down. Goodness gracious, our church has burned down. We had to come back together, and we had to build what could be destroyed, you know, back up, and we did. And if you know what's been going on lately, you know that if you're comfortable right now, it's because we've been changing out air conditioning systems. We have to do it here. We have to do it over in Restore. And it just seems to never stop. Maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. And one of the biggest line items in our budget, I mean, every month, is spending money on things that are sandcastles. I mean, it's temporary. We'd like to sometimes see it more permanent, but that's not the way it is. Like everything in our life, sandcastles. Now, you don't get too upset about this, not even the money, because money sandcastles too. I guarantee you, if you hadn't thought about it, just think about it a little bit. Your portfolio, your pensions, your IRAs, everything that you have accumulated in this life is a sandcastle. If you try to make something that is temporary permanent, then you're putting yourself right in the position of the person in the first scripture that was read today. You fool. You have put everything you have into these larger barns and everything that you could accumulate, and tonight your soul is required of you. And let me just ask you, whose is it going to be now? It was just God's way of reminding us. Is sandcastle is temporary. Don't think that something that was given to you as a gift, as a blessing from God, that you are to use in order to honor God and in order to make this world a better place, as all of these things are for us, don't expect that they're permanent, because when you try to make something temporary permanent, then you become a fool. You forget that life is short, and that you're to do some good, a lot of good while you're here. But it's a short time. And we will be going to that which is permanent. At least that which is permanent in us will be going to that which is permanent elsewhere. And I'm just reminded, as we sit here in this sanctuary, you know, this is not, we're not to see this as a building. And our money hasn't gone into a building. Our money has gone into the mountain of God, where we have gone in our lifetime to the mountain where we come into contact with God. It's 10903 Highway 119. And that's where we meet God. This is our Jerusalem. This is where we went up on the Mount of Beatitudes, and we heard Jesus preaching to us that sermon on the Mount. This is holy ground in that sense. This is Calvary. This is that empty tomb that we go to on Easter, and we discover that He is alive, that He is resurrected, and that because of that and His promises to us that we hear right here, 10903 Highway 119, we realize that we're sharing life with God. We come here and we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We lay hands, say, the Holy Spirit work within you that you may be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we bring our children up for children's time because we know that of all the things that we give them that are temporary in this world, I mean, how to, you know, make a living and to have what is necessary in order to get through this life. We need to give them something from the very beginning that is everlasting, that outlasts all of that which is temporary. And we try to help them so that they can get through those teenage years when there's temptations and when there's doubts. And we're trying to give them that which is useful, that which helps to get through this short life of ours, and to do it in a way that honors God. We stand here and we make our commitments to our vows here at the church. We make commitments to spouses. We say that I will love and cherish. We stand before God. It's 10903 Highway 119 where we do that in the presence of God and make that commitment that is not just in this life but forever with those that we love. And when we lose them, and when we lose others that we love, and when we hurt, and when we suffer, and we want to know, does God understand this? Is God with us in this? You know, and I want to know that God is with me right now when my heart is breaking and when everything in my life is coming apart. We come to holy ground, 10903, Highway 19. And we just keep on doing it. And we've done it for about 120-something years. This spot, this holy place, this sacred ground. And most of those that have gone before us, they've gone on. Every All Saints Day, we stand up here and we read their names. We're going to do it again this next month, or the first Sunday of the next month. All of those who were with us, but now they have gone on to the permanent place. Not the temporary place, but boy, did they ever make a difference in our life in this temporary place as they shared it with us, and they shared the Spirit, and they shared God's life, and we shared love together, and we tried our best to live passionately, just like Jesus did, to make a difference in life, to love completely, just like Jesus did when He finally went to the cross to show just how far love would go, the same kind of love that's living in us. To learn humbly, just like Jesus who emptied himself like a servant, like a slave. And He told us, when you come here, you're reminded. You're not reminded really at many other places in this world, but you are reminded here that the greatest in this world are not the ones that are served, but the ones that serve. And we've heard those words and learned that humble lesson at 10903 Highway 119. And today we remember that we leave boldly. We don't care that this is a sandcastle. We've assumed that it's a sandcastle. But as Paul said, you know, if this earthly tent we live in be destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal, and in the heavens. and we are part of that. And every time that we love God, we're gonna have that same kind of love in the permanent place. Every time we love one another, that's what's going to go with us. That's permanent. In fact, any influence that we've ever had over any other life to help them to understand what is really important, and that is our relationship with God, that is our relationship with others. It is about love. It is about compassion. It is about forgiveness. Those are permanent things. They never end. They just go right with us when we leave behind all of the temporary. And when we do, we're leaving a permanent legacy. Not our material stuff, but the relationships that we have had that help people to understand about God and His love for us and the life that goes on and on and on. When we think about our life, we just pray that we, as we come here, listen to our Lord's words, that we become a part of that life that He promises us and that goes into eternity. But it comes with some commitment while we are here. I mean, during our time when we are here, we're not just to hear about these things. We're not just to receive gifts from God. We are to make a commitment to Him as well. We say, yes, I will be your child. I will give my life to you, because I know that whatever starts here continues throughout eternity, and that's the kind of relationship with you that I want. And I know that it requires something of me. I can't just sit back and say, Lord, I sure am glad that you love to give these gifts and that you love me and that I have your grace. And no, Jesus said, follow me. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. And we do that not in just some kind of mystical, spiritual way. We do it with what He's given us, our bodies. We do it with this building. We do it with the other temporary things in our life. We do it with this temporary thing, this body. We say that I give my heart, my head, my hands, my feet, or as we make commitments when we join Christ Church, we say, I give my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness to you, Lord. While I'm here, I give that. I commit it to you. I will. So we know what God wants from us, but it changes when you say, I will. I mean, the relationship changes. Everything changes when you say, I will. I remember when I was going with Donna, I started dating her. She was ninth grade. I was 10th. And we went through, you know, high school into college together. I remember all the wonderful things. First kiss. When I took her up to the door, I said, I'm going to say goodnight. If she looks down, I'm not going to try to kiss her. But if she looks up, I'm going to kiss her. And I said, good night, and she went. So I kissed her. And it just continued on and on. And then one day, I said, will you do this for life? Will you be my wife? Will you enter into that relationship with me? And you know what she said? She said, I will. And everything changed. Everything changed with that simple expression, that simple response, that simple commitment to me. And life has been so good, so different. And that's really what we do with God. We say, I will. I don't know how it's going to all play out, but however it plays out, I will. I will be yours. And not only do we leave that lasting legacy here and all of the influence that we have and the relationships that we have in this life, but we also have it in our soul. Reason I wanted to have both scriptures read, including the armor of God, is because it was talking about all of the permanent things that we have. We have them right here. They grow in us. They grow among us. But they also go to heaven with us, and they continue there. Truth. Righteousness. The sharing of the gospel. Faith. Peace, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, all of these things that connect us to God, our salvation, that relationship with God that comes only through Jesus Christ and only by His grace, that brings rebirth, it brings conversion, it brings justification by grace. This salvation that has been given to us, it continues eternally. And we're going to be looking at all of that in the weeks ahead. And we're going to be focusing some on these various parts of the armor of God that is a gift to us right now that helps us to give our head and our heart, our hands and our feet to God now, every day, but also for eternity's sake. We're in the book, 1 Month to Live, and we're in the last part of it, which is called Leave Boldly. And Chris and Carrie Shook tell a story that comes from Jess Moody, Owensboro, Kentucky, a small church. But one day, a young woman in his church got cancer. And he found out about it from her husband and said, "We just come from the doctor." He said, "It's all over her. She only has weeks, not months, weeks." And so immediately he went to the hospital, and like all pastors, you walk in, you not knowing just how that's going to go. As soon as he walked in, she said, "I have a question for you." He said, "What?" He said, "I heard you say one time in a sermon that 1,000 years to God is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. Is that right?" And he said, "Yeah, well, that is what the Bible says." She says, "Good. You know, I've been doing the math. And I think if that's true, then 1 hour would be, 40 years would be about 1 hour. So I'm about to leave my husband and my children. I assume he'll probably live about another 40 years, but that will be like an hour to me. So when I see him again, I'm going to say, 'Hey, sweetie,' I'm going to kiss him and say, 'Where you been for the last hour?' And my children, I assume that they're going to have about 80 more years, 2 times 40. And when I see them, I'm going to say, 'How have you been the last couple of hours? I've missed you, because even for a short time, Mommy misses you when we're not together.'" And that's what she told him. And a couple of weeks later, she did pass away. But right before she passed away, she looked at her husband and she said, "I love you. Take care of the kids. I'll see you in an hour." Now that is the way to leave boldly, knowing that everything that God has shown us in Jesus Christ is also something that we can count on in our own life, and we can count on it eternally. And the reason that we can is because what He has shown us. And we're about to celebrate that with our time together at the table of Jesus Christ, the one where He said, "I've so longed to be with you, And I just want you to know the full extent of my love. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Until the time when we will share this meal together in Christ's eternal kingdom. Will you pray with me? Lord, we ask that you be with us now as we seek to be with you. You have promised what you always deliver on. And we ask that you just help us to love you and trust you and make our eternal legacy with you here and as we prepare to be with you there. In Jesus' name, amen.